family, continuing in our series, Getting Back to Purpose, we decided we were going to kick this year off by taking a look at what can we do differently in 2026 than we did in 2025 that would help drive our purpose, our God-given purpose. And in that, we're going to be this week in 1 Samuel chapter number 26. 1 Samuel chapter number 26. And I would like to read in your hearing just two verses. Verses 7 through 9. When you found it, I would ask that you would stand to your feet for the reading of God's holy word. 1 Samuel chapter number 26. Verse 7 through 9, I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. If you need a moment, say, hold on. Amazing. Now, Stephanie, what are you doing, young lady? I got to read. My, my, my. Look at her. She just tickled that the Lord is in this place in such a mighty way this morning. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 26, beginning with verse 7. Here's how my Bible reads. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping inside the circle of the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground at his head. And Abner and the people were lying around him. Verse 8. Then Abishai said to David, today God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Now therefore, please let me strike him with the spear to the ground with one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time. That is Abner, or shall I say Abishai, asking David to let him end Saul's life. So much so, he said, don't worry about it being messy. I only need one strike. In verse 9, but David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Then Abishai said to David, today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now, therefore, please let me strike him with the spear to the ground with one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time. Family, I'd like to speak briefly, and I do mean briefly this morning, from this subject, purpose-driven in the face of enemies. Purpose-driven in the face of enemies. Family, last week we looked at 1 Samuel chapter number 18 through 20, and we considered the purpose-driven friendship between Jonathan and David. We then measured our closest friendships against their scriptural example and discovered a paradigm for freeing ourselves from the purpose-killing people that encircled us all of 2025. And this morning, we will examine 1 Samuel chapter number 26. But this time, we're going to consider the relentless adversarial relationship between Saul and David. Before we ask ourselves, get this, how do I rise above my enemies in order to fulfill my purpose? Now, last Sunday, I thought it would be good to ask everybody to raise their hand because I wanted to discern. Let me first make sure that everybody at least has enemies or has friends. Y'all remember that? I don't think we need to raise our hands this week. I just got a sneaky feeling that everyone sitting under the sound of my voice has or has had an enemy. Family, three things I need us all to understand about the importance of remaining purpose-driven despite our enemies. That is the goal, Wayne. How do I, Lord, remain purpose-driven when you have these enemies? You, God, have allowed all these enemies to encircle me. I'll share these with you, three things, and then I'm in my seat. When I look at the text, the first thing I see to answer the question, how do I rise above my enemies in order to fulfill my purpose, Aaron? The first thing I see is, don't be fixated on getting revenge. Leave room for God. And I'm going to repeat that for my note takers. Point number one, don't be fixated on getting revenge. Instead, leave room for God. It's right there in verses 1 and then 8 through 11. And what this speaks to, family and friends, this speaks to your single-mindedness towards your purpose. Your single-mindedness towards your purpose. Now, let me just lay it out there. Look at verse number 1, if you will. 1 Samuel chapter number 26, verse 1. Then the Ziphites, somebody say the Ziphites. Then the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah and said, is not David hiding on the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon? This is an interesting thing, family. Beloved, the focus here is the disappointment that can be associated with our enemies. And family, if we're honest with ourselves, can admit that at some of our staunchest enemies started out as friends. Think about it. Some of our staunchest enemies began as our friends, close friends, no doubt. The Bible says that here it is, the Ziphites are ratting out David. Now, this is interesting because when we read the account, we'll discover that this isn't the first time that the Ziphites been two-faced. No, it's not. If you go back just a few chapters, 1 Samuel chapter number 23, if you allow me to read that for you, 1 Samuel chapter number 23, right around verse 14, pull back a couple of chapters, listen to the first time these Ziphites weigh in on this David-Saul situation. 1 Samuel chapter number 23, verse 14, David stayed in the wilderness in the strongholds, and remained in the hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Now drop down to verse 19. Then Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah and said, is not David hiding with us in the strongholds at Horesh, on the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? So no doubt David had been there before, and the Ziphites ratted him out. And that's the part, Wayne, that hurts the most. When the people who are close friends are the ones who stab you in the back, the ones who you least expect to set themselves against you when you're down. Let's take a look just a little bit deeper at this, if you will. First of all, we had Saul. The king started out as a friend of David. Then the women sang. Mm-hmm. And after the women sang, I thought it'd get quiet right there. Saul ended up being David's chief nemesis. What about the Keilahites? The men and women of Keilah, they started out as allies of David. Then the Lord gave special revelation, and the Keilahites, they turn out to be ungrateful enemies. And then we have here the Ziphites. The Ziphites started out as allies of King David, and then after multiple betrayals, they ended up being rogue enemies. Don't be fixated on getting revenge. Leave room for God. Speaks to your single-mindedness towards your purpose. And then we have verses 8 through 11 of chapter number 26. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 26, our text, and drop down to verse 8 through 11. Then Abishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Now, therefore, please let me strike him with the spear to the ground with one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time." But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him. For who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt?" Verse 10, David also said, "As the Lord lives, surely the Lord will strike him, or his day will come that he dies, or he will go down into battle and perish." David said, no matter how it happened, God going to take care of Saul. And look at verse 11. "The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But now, please take the spear that is at his head and the jug of water and let us go." Very important, because you see, this time David captured the king's spear and his canteen as evidence that he has spared the king's life. Does this sound familiar? It should sound familiar, because remember, just two chapters ago in 1 Samuel chapter number 24, David had the drop on Saul then. But the last time, David captured the corner of Saul's robe as evidence that he had spared the king's life. Do y'all remember David's rationale when he clipped off the corner of Saul's robe? It's right there in 1 Samuel chapter number 24, verses 11 and 12. Turn there if you will. 1 Samuel chapter number 24. I want everybody to see this. 1 Samuel chapter number 24, verses 11 and 12. "Now, my father, see the edge of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the edge of your robe and did not kill you." David said, "I could have cut your heart, but I just cut your robe. Know and perceive that there is no evil or rebellion in my hands, and I have not sinned against you, though you are lying in wait for my life to take it. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you." It's an interesting thing. But that wasn't the only time David been betrayed by enemies. Because then we had, after chapter 23 and 24, we had chapter number 25. And in response to Nabal's folly of returning evil to David for the good that David had shown Nabal. Has anybody else in this room ever decided, you know what? The Bible says if a man wants friends, he ought to show himself friendly. So you go out of your way to show yourself friendly to somebody else. It may be even a stranger. And then before you know it, that same joker you just show friendliness to is going to return to you evil for the good that you show them. Has that ever happened to anybody? I guess I'll go down to church down the road and ask them. It's an amazing thing. Remember Abigail's response to David in 1 Samuel chapter number 25. Y'all turn there and look. 1 Samuel chapter 25. I want y'all to see what Abigail told David after David said, "You know what? I'm going to go and handle my business with this neighbor. He crossed the wrong one." 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 33. "And blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand." David told Abigail, "The Lord bless you. Because I had in my mind that I showed this joker good and he gave me evil, return evil for my good. I was thinking about going and busting his head. But I thank you that God said, as a matter of fact, God bless you because you kept me from taking into my own hands my own vengeance." And then drop down to verse 39. This is what happened a little bit a little bit later. When David heard that Nabal was dead, somebody say God killed him. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has also returned the evil doing of Nabal on his own head. Then David sent a proposal to Abigail to take her as his wife. Here's what Pastor is trying to say. Family, here is the crux of the matter. All the time, energy, and intellect we spend trying to figure out how to get even with our enemies, that's just time, energy, and intellect that could have been spent on the kingdom. That's time, energy, and intellect that could have been spent on kingdom building. Simply put, it is wasted effort we cannot get back. It's a brand new year, and it's time we stop trying to punish our enemies. That's God's business. Beloved, leave room for God's work. Romans chapter number 12, verse 17 and verse 19. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Thank you, Larry. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Look at verse 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Lord, help us remain purpose-driven despite the presence of our enemies. Well, not only must we not be fixated on getting revenge and let the Lord leave room for the Lord speaks to a single-mindedness of our purpose. But then secondly, my second point, are y'all interested? Yes, never forget the way back to the strongholds. Never forget the way back to the strongholds. I like this part right here. Now, This speaks to your security strategy within your purpose. This speaks to your security strategy, Dave, within your purpose. Look at verse number 2, 1 Samuel chapter 26. Look at verse 2 of our text. Are you there? So Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having with him 3,000 chosen men of Israel. To do what? To search for David in the wilderness of Ziph. Here's my question. Is there any significance in this verse? Look at it again, verse 2. So Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having with him 3,000 chosen men of Israel, to search for David in the wilderness of Ziph. Is there any significance in this verse? Of course there is. What's repeated in the verse? Y'all see, what's mentioned twice? Hello, what's mentioned twice in that verse? The wilderness. I got a Bible reading church. We got this observation thing down, Larry. The wilderness of Ziph is mentioned twice in this verse. Let me have my map up here if we can. Y'all see my map? I don't have my pointer with me. No doubt they done already gave it to me two or three times. But if you've been to Israel, you know that Israel is nice and green. But right down there, you see that sign pointed with it? There's an arrow pointed up. All those areas right there in the light gray area, that's wilderness. You got Keilah, Hebron, Horesh, En Gedi. That's like desert-like land. This is where this whole deal is going on. That's the wilderness of Ziph, just in case you wanted to see it on a map. Now, family, the wilderness of Ziph is one of the many strongholds that David frequents during this season in his purpose. So the next question becomes, what is a stronghold anyway? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked that question. Strongholds, get this, often caves were structures that provided optimal defense and protection against enemies. Strongholds were often caves were structures that provided optimal defense and protection against enemies. Beloved, the significance of this verse is the fact that once again, David has taken refuge in this stronghold. Don't just take Pastor Orr's word for it. Let me give it to you. 1 Samuel chapter 22 and 1, David fled from King Saul and escaped to the stronghold, the cave of Adullam, with about 400 misfits. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14, David fled from King Saul and escaped to the strongholds in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. He's right back in Ziph right now in 26. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 24, David fled from Ziph from King Saul and escaped to the strongholds in the wilderness of Maon in the Arabah south of Jeshimon called the Rock of Escape. 1 Samuel chapter number 23, verse 29, David fled from Maon, fleeing from King Saul, and escaped to the strongholds of En-Gedi. It's an amazing thing. During this season, David said, I may as well accept the fact that I'm going to have to be on the run, but I know where to go. Have y'all ever seen folk that's just running and they ain't got nowhere to go? You know, as a cop, I done chase people sometimes. And they try to run from me, Wayne, and run right into a fence. I said, unless you're going to go through that fence, you might want to get down now. When the joker's running and he ain't got nowhere to go, they just confused. They don't know. Whoa, what's? Okay, I give up. That ain't the kind of David running David did. David ran with purpose. Sometimes, if we're going to walk in purpose and remain in purpose, sometimes we got to know when to walk away. We got to know when to run away, but we got to know where to run. Bible says, y'all seen all them time, David, he had a network of strongholds. It's an amazing thing. Now the question is, what role should a stronghold play in your purpose, Aaron? Dave, what role does the stronghold play in your purpose, Vince? Mr. Patton? What role does a stronghold play in your purpose? I'm glad you asked. Back in March of 2020, Karina and I traveled to the Holy Land and visited the strongholds of En-Gedi. That's where David was at, 23-29. Can we play that video, the first one? Play that video one more time. That's a stronghold. Y'all see my wife there? That's Karina at the bottom. Listen to the amazing thing. The stronghold is a wilderness. Play that video one more time, Kelly. The first video. You got to play it again because you had the sound that time. Play it one more time.
The hidden presence of God.
The hidden presence of God. Even in a stronghold and all those dry rocks, I come around the corner and seen a waterfall coming out of a rock. There was no rivers around. And all of a sudden, I come around the corner. I heard some noise. I come around the corner. There is a waterfall coming out of a rock. How many know God will keep you in the stronghold? I can't make it up. Play the second video.
Back
same thing.
En-Gedi. Look at the caves where David and his men would have hid. Look at the caves.
Can you imagine trying to touch a joker when he tucked off in one of those holes? How do you get to them? Were they repelling back then? Understand, family, in the biblical context, put your seatbelt on. Put your seatbelt on. In the biblical context, strongholds symbolize, get this, safety, security, and divine protection. Never forget the way back to the stronghold. Because the stronghold symbolizes safety, security, and divine protection. Here it is. Go with me for a minute. Moses had his strongholds in Midian and Mount Sinai. Jacob had his stronghold in Bethel. Joseph had his stronghold in Egypt. Ruth had her stronghold and Naomi. Asaph discovered that his stronghold was in the sanctuary of God. And family, every now and then, every one of our on every one of our journeys toward purpose, the going will get tough. And this morning, I'm here to remind you, never forget your way back to the stronghold. The stronghold of Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Jesus is the optimal defense and protection against our enemies. Jesus is a very present help in the time of trouble. It's a brand new year. And I won't allow evil people or evil circumstances to cause me to forget who done kept me, who has brought me through 2025. I love my wife. Karina didn't bring me through 2025. I love the elders at North Oaks Baptist Church. Y'all didn't bring me, Fred, through 2025. I love Gabriel Jr. I love every one of you, but y'all didn't bring me through. God brought me through 2025. Amen. God is my refuge and my rock. I like the way Psalm is put it in Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock, David, and my fortress and my deliverer. Somebody know their Bible. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Family, if we're going to maintain or stay in our purpose, even in the face of enemies, Pastor Orr came by to stop to you this morning. Don't get fixated on getting revenge. Leave room for God. Speaks to the single-mindedness. Any effort that you place on anything else, you're taking focus away from where you should be putting it, and that is on Jesus. Never forget the way back to the stronghold. This is your security strategy within your purpose. I cut this thing short today. Let's go with 3 points instead of four. Third and final point. Are you interested? Yes. Don't forfeit the blessing on your enemy's lips. Don't forfeit the blessing on your enemy's lips. It's right there in verse 21 through 25. And this speaks to the success through your purpose. The success through your purpose. Quote, instead of turning to friends for sympathy or even attacking his enemies, David turned to God. End quote, Dr. James Montgomery Boyce. Quote, success comes by allowing God to accomplish his purpose through our lives. End quote. Let me say that again. Success comes by allowing God to accomplish his purpose through our lives. End quote. Stephen Runge. Look at verse 21 through 24 of our text. Y'all would have loved to read the whole thing, but I got to sit down at some point. But I encourage you, read the whole chapter when you get home. Verse 21, then Saul said, I have sinned. That one, David, if you remember back, first time he took the corner of his robe. This time he took the spear from beside his head, the king's spear, in his canteen. Instead of driving the spear through his head and nailing him to the ground, he said, no, I won't do it. I won't touch him. He said, let's take this stuff. David runs out of the camp of the enemy, goes on a nearby hill where there's a gulf between them, where Saul and his man can't readily get to David. I wonder how he knew how to do that. Bible said he frequented the strongholds. He knew the places. David goes in and he yells out to Saul, hey, who's supposed to be protecting the king? You should have your head busted because you're doing a terrible job. And look at what Saul said to David. Abner got shut up. He had to eat crow. And look at verse 21. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return, my son, David. This is a man who's been on a years-long campaign to scalp this man. And now he's saying, I have sinned. Return my son, David. He been calling him Jesse's son for the longest. Y'all see what happened when the Joker realized you could have touched him up? They start showing some respect. For I will not harm you again, because my life was precious in your sight this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have committed a serious error. David replied, behold, the spear of the king. Now let one of your young men come over and take it. I don't know if David said, let me show you what I could have done to you. I don't know if that's what he's saying, or send somebody over here, I give it back. Larry, which one you think it is? Maybe a little bit of both. David said, you forgot who I am? I know how to handle my business. Send one of them young, strong fellas over here. Let me show you what I could have done to you, old man. Verse number 23. The Lord will repay each man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I refuse to stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Now behold, as your life was highly valued in my sight this day, so may my life be highly valued in your sight, Saul. Oh, no. That would have been the correct parallel. When you know God, you know how when to skip the parallel from where it should be and take it to the Lord. Y'all see that? You can gloss over that. Listen to that. Verse 24. Now behold, as your life, this is David talking to Saul, as your life was highly valued in my sight this day, so may my life be highly valued in the sight of the Lord. And may the Lord deliver me from all distress. It's an amazing thing, beloved. Since we've been divinely endowed with purpose, how do we ensure success and avoid the blessing God wants to grant us, fumbling the blessing God wants to grant us in 2026? Ain't nothing worse than a joker got the ball, then ran a 99 yards and fumbled on a 1 yard line. Don't y'all know sometimes when a joker then doing something amazing on the football field, they done ran all the way across the field. They either start showboating, they take their eyes off the finish line, the goal line, or they slow down in arrogance. And somebody catch up to them and tackle them on the 1 yard line. I believe I'll call my agent and just quit if that happened to me. Church folk do it all the time. Fumble the bag on a 1 yard line. Not this church. Now, y'all know my folk don't do that. We must ensure that our friends are purpose driven and not purpose killing. And realize that in God's economy, our enemies serve to benefit our purpose. Oh, you getting deep now, Pastor. Why didn't David scab him when he had a chance? Why did he cut his robe when he could have cut his heart out? Why didn't he let Abishai strike him pin him to the earth? Because David knew Saul served a purpose in his life. Yeah, he did. See, family, David's understanding was that God was blessing him through the trials of conflict, preparing him for future leadership. Let David's example serve as a reminder to us all that our enemies are instruments of God's purpose in our lives. Quimbis, you touched my heart a minute ago, young lady. Our enemies are instruments of God's purpose for our lives. I can't kill no enemy. I can't sit here and try to take this man. You take him out. You take out your own blessing that would have been on his lips. I couldn't make it up. Look at verse 25. And I'm in my seat. I'm going to leave a little early today. Then Saul said to David, blessed are you, my son David. You will both accomplish much and surely prevail. I tell you what, Saul was the crookedest prophesying joker ever. Because on what he talked out both sides of his head. So David went on his way. And Saul returned to his place. Northos, get this. When you keep your eyes on him, he'll make your enemies turn around and have to bless you. Did y'all hear that? Foy, when you keep your eyes on Jesus, I know sometimes it feels like God don't see me. God ain't with me. Look at all these folk. Could that be the problem? Look at this great big old God. Look at all these grasshoppers. God gonna make all these grasshoppers have to bless me. Mary, I know no doubt sometimes it seems like this is a hard thing we're doing. There were some folks who said they were going to help us. And sometimes it felt, God, have you forgot about me? God's going to take these folk who didn't keep their word. They're going to have to come to you. Number one, tell you they wish they would have kept their word. They're going to tell you, surely God has prevailed you. And it ain't going to bless you. Here's my question. If God can use your enemies for his glory, why in the world are we so quick to abandon our purpose? This hard. Let me tell you something. This is the hardest thing I ever done in my life. Let the Lord have breath in my body next week. You know where you're going to find me? I'm going to be standing right here. And I will be prepared, Lord willing. At some point, you got to move past this. It's hard. Let me show you how you do it. Look back at 2025 and see where you could have been had you stayed on track. That's enough for me to stick it out. It's a brand new year. Let's make the most of it by getting back to purpose. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we love you. We count it joy that you have allowed us to see 2026. Father, we're relying on you, the one who brought us through 2025, to take us through 2026. Now, every time I cut the news on, somebody is checking out. And yet you have preserved me. Let me interpret this for you. If God has preserved your life, that means two things. Number one, he got some more purpose he want to squeeze out of you. And number two, you need to look a little bit more like his son before he's ready to bring you home. Maybe he has a little bit more purpose to squeeze out of me. And maybe he's going to use these no good rotten jokers to help me to look more like Christ. Father God, we love you and thank you for this word. Help us to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Just in case y'all haven't heard me say it in a while, I love you. I love you. I have discovered that nothing gets my juices flowing more, that it invigorates me to want to push harder than to consider those who are walking beside. I get to walk alongside of y'all in ministry, and y'all have allowed me the opportunity to do that. And I love you for it. I love you for it. Now, we're pushing this year to be consistent. We've already discovered and discussed, we're going to be jumping into some sermon series. One, the anatomy of prayer, and that's coming not next week, but the following week. We're going to go throughout the scriptures, and we're going to look at prayers of mighty characters throughout the Bible. Real people, real prayers. And we're going to compare and contrast them to see how the consistency of a real prayer life can deliver the man and woman of God. And then we're going to move from the anatomy of prayer, and then what are we going to talk about? Ooh, boy. So Karina told me to soften it up a little bit. When I was a little boy, about Gabriel Jr.'s age, and my grandma would take us places, before we went anywhere, she'd get us straight at home. Now, once we gets over here, don't y'all start asking for candies. She told us before we left the house. And every once in a while, she said, Gabriel, you come on, let me go ahead and get you before we leave. Because you looks like you about to cut up. But Karina told me to soften it up, and we're going to go into a series, How to Behave in God's House. Yeah, because when we got home training back home, we learned how to behave when mama took you somewhere so you ain't embarrassing. But we're going to learn how to behave in God's house according to God's word. If you've joined us today on YouTube or our live stream or however you get your podcast, let me say it's not lost on me that you've chosen to do so. As a matter of fact, one of you guys are sitting in here today. That's right. That's right. Let me thank you for joining us. And I would say if you want to support our ministry, let me see. Last week I pointed the wrong way, so let me try this way. Watch Nathan Beaton flipped it. That brother flipped it to this side. You see this QR code right here? Go ahead and tap that QR code. Hover over with your phone, and it'll take you to a link where you can give safely through an encrypted site. Link, and it'll help you to support our ministry. Let me say ahead of time, thank you. I love pastoring North Oaks Baptist Church because here at North Oaks, we are shining the light and glorifying the Father. Give God a hand clap of praise for bringing Larry back in our midst.
We'll close with Paul's great encouragement, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You are dismissed.